is born to us. First scripture reading is Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Our next scripture is from Matthew chapter 2, and it's verses 1 through 12. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem, in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people, Israel." Then Herod called the wise men secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route.
You know that there are already thousands of asylum seekers in Mexico waiting in Tijuana, currently living in very close quarters in shelters. And as temperatures drop, there are constant concerns about the migrants' health. And so once a week, a group of doctors, nurses, and volunteers from across the border in San Diego go over to provide medical care. And according to NPR News report, one of these volunteers, a nurse practitioner named Karen Linares, felt a very personal connection with these thousands of people of Central Americans waiting because she had been adopted from Honduras at the age of 7. And growing up in Oregon, she said she always wanted to start a medical clinic in Honduras and work in medicine. Now she's 39 and she lives in Palm Springs. And so through a Facebook post, she learned about this volunteer project that was organized by San Diego Border Dreamers. And Linares drove 2.5 hours to join this group of about a dozen volunteers. Many migrants are now living in these large government shelters that are serviced by Mexican government health care professionals. But there's also a number of informal shelters in the city. And this medical group usually finds out which places to go by word of mouth where medical care is most needed. Like a YMCA in the middle of town that houses teenagers. And many say that this care and medicine that they provide is crucial to preventing any viruses that could just spread like wildfire throughout the crowded camps and shelters. So on this day, the group first went to a private home that serves as an LGBTQ shelter to check on the 25 people that live there. And there was a 20-year-old man that was complaining of great tension headaches and body aches. One of the doctors, named Lucy Horton, handed him just a Tylenol and asked him if he was stressed. He nodded his head, and Horton asked, "Do you have any family with you, or are you just by yourself?" And the man answered, "See," and he began to cry. One of the volunteers said, as she choked up, "I can't imagine being young and feeling all alone and not knowing what's going to happen. Just such fear. Just to be there," she said, "was worth that for the entire day." Now, I can't imagine the journey of Mary and Joseph, as well as the birth of Jesus, without imagining and feeling fear. From the Gospel of Luke, we read of this young couple forced to leave their hometown of Nazareth, traveling as refugees, certainly not nearly as long as those of us, those who are traveling in this generation, who have ventured from Honduras and Guatemala or Mexico and weighed at that southern border. But it was a strenuous journey, pregnant, and life was so unstable then as it is now, for those who wait to see if their claims of asylum will be justified. Mary and Joseph lived at the time of Caesar Augustus, known as the Prince of Peace, who was considered by many in the culture to have some kind of a divine nature. And after a long time of war and violence, Caesar had issued this Pax Romana. But this time of progress that hailed Roman achievements in systems of road and big building projects would made possible courtesy of a lot of oppression and much deadly force. It was a time of dictatorship and tyranny and totalitarian rule. Prosperity and peace was only for the very few at the top. You know, I can be sure that there were many times this song kept repeating itself through Mary's mind. That song that she had in her whole being, the one she sang after she spent the months with Elizabeth, the one we read in the Gospel of Luke, "My soul magnifies the Lord." She could sing those words by heart. "His mercy is for those who fear him. From generation to generation, he has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly." And through those words, Mary addressed that political context straight on. The powerful will be brought down from their thrones. And the use of that word throne naturally points us to power, to who might be Lord of all. And to be free of this oppression, you would want to have a new king, one who could usurp and replace the reign of fear and that oppression by Caesar. And aren't we all looking for those signs? Signs that something is going to change? Thus, when these wise people arrived on the scene asking Herod, an agent of Caesar, "Where is the newborn king of the Jews?" the question stung. And while that question rings in our ears, can we also hear the last verse of Silent Night? Wondrous star, lend thy light. With the angels, alleluia, let us sing alleluia to our king. A king, a ruler, one who has power. And so few could imagine that that power would rest on a child, let alone a newborn. Those astrologers, considered a science at the time, paid attention to signs. The star that appears was so significant that they traveled to investigate it, a clue that they considered that something of a sign would guide them to an important discovery. And that question made Herod very afraid. You know, we do know that tyranny only works when you have power over a people. Tyrants have to be afraid of losing power in order to stay vigilant enough to ward off threats. And when you reign by fear, you live by fear. Most of us get caught up in the fear story. And we are convinced that to put up our defenses is the only way to stay safe. Tyranny can happen to all of us, and it comes in so many forms. For some, it is the leadership of a country. For others, it might be one's salary. Or there's perfectionism and upward mobility. For others, tyranny might be an abusive relationship. Maybe an unforgiving situation which holds us captive. Or maybe even the rejection of some family members. For some, an addiction to things is an attempt to numb that fear. And our mental health can push us into believing that someone else is in control. And fear is such a natural reaction. But the opposite of fear is not simply calm, but it is hope. And when we give in to our deepest fear, we lose all sense of hope. One researcher wrote, "If people can't access their hope, they then live by their fear." And so on this fourth Sunday of Advent, I want to have all of us consider the hopes that we have, or perhaps have even lost. The Magi had a hope for a different king. A sign of a new way of rule. And sure, it took time to bring Caesar down. And the Caesars of our world do keep cropping up. Marcia McPhee writes, "But what can we see in the overarching meta-narrative of humanity and our faith is that love and life, joy and hope, peace and light, calm and bright are more powerful truths, more mighty than the tyranny of fear. Because of this, we choose to live with those as our guiding star, and hope shines among us." This week's highlight for Inward Outward, a branch of the Church of the Savior in D.C., issued this message. "Our city is filled with strong, gifted people who are fighting for a better world. And they labor in offices, streets, homes, and with their friends in ways that are oftentimes unseen and unappreciated. And these folks and their world work are the dynamic components of our city's movement for justice. They tirelessly create, think, build, and hope, believing that another world is possible." I'm so impressed by the Festival Center in D.C. It's in the heart of Adams Morgan, a vibrant and diverse neighborhood in Northwest D.C. Some of you might know it. The center is affiliated with the rich tradition of this Church of the Savior. And their core belief rests in a God who offers unconditional love to all sides and with the oppressed. Their work is compelled by their faith, living out that same love and justice. They have many groups that gather there throughout the week. And at their fall gathering, The guests were invited to join in the call, commitment to dream how D.C.'s movements for justice can continue in the coming years. Each person was offered a leaf-shaped card, which were instructed to write on that card how one can grow stronger for justice. And people offered organizations and causes, materials, speakers. And by the time the meeting was over, the tree, Bear Tree, was covered with all these bright leaves representing liberation for so many. And here among us are also dreamers and those who have hopes to respond to those cries in the silent night. Recently, James spoke with me about his hope, and I've asked him to share just a little of that with you today.
Thank you. I want to thank Christy for the opportunity to speak to you today about hope. I think she talked at the beginning about these folks in San Diego that are coming here with hopes. There are a number of people in our country today whose parents or even grandparents came here with those same hopes. They have lived their entire lives here, considering themselves to be Americans just like you and I, now find themselves in a position having to seek sanctuary from current administration and ICE. And there was a story that was in the Washington Post recently about a congregation, I think in Bethesda, Maryland, that is sheltering a person who came here as a child, is now an adult with children of her own, and is being told that she has to return to her home country or essentially turn herself in and be returned, which is not an option for her. She can't take her kids back with her because of violence there, but she can't leave them behind here either. And I'm sure everybody's been seeing stories like this in the news, but this one stood out to me both because it's in our community, Bethesda's certainly our neighbors, but because they mentioned a group which is called the DMV Sanctuary Congregation Network, and it is part of a large organization called Sanctuary DMV. But it's essentially specifically religious congregations that work with them. And it's a group of congregations that have agreed to take, I'm going to lay out five fairly simple steps to support these folks that are seeking sanctuary. This is what they do, these congregations. Accompany people to ICE check-ins and legal hearings. Hold Know Your Rights or Defend Your Rights trainings. Set up rapid response networks to show up during ICE raids in our neighborhoods. Hosting families at risk of deportation or supporting those doing so. Advocating for your local city and state government officials to get ICE out of schools, jails, and courts and end all policies that racially profile and disproportionately incarcerate people of color. And I saw that, and I thought, this is actionable. This is something that we can do. Those are not things that I would think that I could do or even that we could do by ourselves as a congregation without a lot of effort. But knowing that there is already an organization in place that exists in our area, that has thought through the challenges, that we can easily get in touch with and find out what can we do today. What can we do next week? What can we do for the long term to be a part of this growing movement? I found that really inspiring. I wanted to just take this opportunity to invite anybody who also feels inspired by that to continue this conversation. Come talk to me. Everybody's got my email. Email me. And hopefully we can get involved somehow and start carrying out some of those steps that the sanctuary movement is doing. So thank you.
Thank you. It's my fault. I so appreciate that, a seed planted for possibilities for each of us. And I, too, have hopes and dreams for Arlington Church of the Brethren, that you might deeply listen to one another. Each of you share your own hopes and dreams and be able to reveal God's presence among you. Those conversations are essential to you being alive, you connecting with one another, and to listening to God's voice in our midst. To us, a child of hope has been born, and that we planted in different places together around this God who is a child. The baby is small and vulnerable and sweet. Yet the God revealed in this human flesh is clearly, from our readings, a very mighty God. And we can hardly begin to relate to such a presence and such a reality. But we can relate to a baby, to a mother, and strangely enough, to these wise people who gave homage. Perhaps that paradox is why singing the carols begins to express the inexpressible, that we cannot put into words this incredible mystery of God made flesh. And yet we know it in our bones. We have felt God with us even when we can't explain how it could be. And when God is a child, barriers can be crossed. Christmas is our communal recognition, our shared celebration that God is with us still. God is still speaking. God is still acting in our lives and in the life of this world that God loves so much. May we all listen deeply for God's promises that will shape us in new ways. How will we continue to sing these songs? Amen. God into this day. May the Spirit guide your way. Offer hope to all you greet. Like Christ, see God in all you meet.